Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text is the scripture lesson which was just read. At first glance, this scripture reading for today does not seem to have much in common with the season of Advent, nor with this particular day in the church year calendar for the commemoration of Nicholas of Myra. After all, this scripture reading comes from Acts chapter 2, and it describes what took place on that first day of Pentecost in the New Testament church, and it seems more appropriate for an entirely different season of the church year. Therefore, this raises the question, how does Acts chapter 2, Nicholas of Myra, and the second week of Advent all relate to one another? Now, certainly, a connection can be made between Advent and the commemoration of Nicholas of Myra, since this Nicholas is the original Saint Nicholas, whose identity has been transformed over the years into the modern-day Santa Claus that is so popular here in the United States. Today, December 6th, is the traditional date for the death of Saint Nicholas, the Bishop of Myra, who died sometime during the middle of the 4th century A.D. And after his death, Nicholas became one of the most popular and widely remembered saints in both the Eastern and Western churches all over the world. Although historically speaking, there really is not much certainty to the details of his life. Tradition says that Nicholas was born in Asia Minor as the only son of wealthy Christian parents. He is said to have been very religious from a young age. Unfortunately, his parents died during an epidemic while Nicholas was rather young, and he was raised by his uncle, who was the bishop in the city of Patara. And having inherited his parents' estate, the young Nicholas became known for his generous gifts to those who were in need. As a youth, he is said to have made pilgrimages to Palestine and Egypt. Eventually, he was made the Archbishop of Myra at the beginning of the 4th century. And during the persecution of the church by the Emperor Diocletian, he was imprisoned for his faith and later released when Constantine became the emperor. Tradition remembers Nicholas as a staunch defender of the true faith in opposition to the Arian heresy. Nicholas is said to have been present at the Council of Nicaea, although there is no historical record of his attendance. Nicholas died in the city of Myra on December 6, sometime between the years 342 and 352, and his remains were eventually transferred to the Italian city of Bari during the 11th century. Now, over the years, many fantastic stories and incredible miracles were attributed to Saint Nicholas. And eventually he became known as the patron saint of sailors and merchants, and especially children. But the most constructive tradition we can remember about Nicholas this day would be his faith in Jesus Christ, which sustained him throughout his imprisonment during that time of persecution and preserved him in the true teachings of the faith in opposition to the false teachings of Arius, who denied the full deity of Jesus Christ. Certainly, Saint Nicholas should be remembered for his generous gifts for the poor, his compassion for those in need, but he should also be remembered as a strong confessor of Jesus Christ, who held to the teachings of our Lord, even in the face of persecution and opposition. And on this account, he has much in common with John the Baptist, who is familiar to us during the season of Advent. And like John the Baptist, Nicholas was not afraid to confess the truth of God's word, even though it brought him suffering and imprisonment by those who rejected Jesus as the Son of God. In our text for today from Acts chapter 2, we read of that great sermon that the Apostle Peter preached on the first day of Pentecost. And here we see Peter boldly confess the message of Christ, even to those in the crowd who recently approved of and supported the crucifixion and death of Christ. Peter was not afraid to speak the truth to those who denied that Jesus is God and had rejected him as the Christ. And as Peter spoke to this unbelieving crowd, he faithfully proclaimed the message of Jesus' death, his resurrection, and his ascension. And after hearing the message, the people were cut to the heart, and they wondered, what should they do to be saved? And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children." And with many words, he warned them to save themselves from this corrupt generation. And in many ways, this message from Peter is the same message we need to hear and to confess during the season of Advent. Now, at this time of year, the world is very busy around us, preparing for the Christmas season. But there are many this day who would be quite content to celebrate Christmas without any mention of Jesus Christ, whose birth we remember as God's Son coming into this world to be our Savior from sin. In fact, confessing the truth about Christ is not always the popular thing to do nowadays. Of course, if some Bible critic would stand up and publicly deny the virgin birth of Christ or his deity, they would probably not get much resistance or negative reaction, certainly not from the media. But yet, if someone would publicly deny the existence, for example, of Santa Claus, they would probably be labeled as a Scrooge. They would get criticized for lacking good Christmas cheer. For many these days, Christmas spirit is simply measured by having faith in Santa rather than having faith in Christ. According to the world, Santa is sacred, but Jesus is not. But in keeping with the original Saint Nicholas, the Bishop of Myra, who not only confessed the Christian faith that Jesus is both God and Lord, even to the point of going to prison for his faith, we too must be willing to confess that Christ came to this world to be our Savior from sin. As Christians, we're called to confess Jesus as both God and Lord, both in season and out of season. Whether we're celebrating his birth, his death, or his resurrection, Christ is the same, true man, true God. He is human as we are, except without sin. He is true God, being of one substance with the Father, who for each of us and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man. And this same Jesus suffered and died for our sins, even for the sins of the world. He was raised again on the third day that we might have eternal life and in his name. As Peter says in our text, those baptized into his name receive the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Spirit. This promise is for all people, including children. Only through faith in Christ, through baptism into his kingdom, can we be saved from this sinful, corrupt generation. Yes, the season of Advent is a time for repentance, but also a time for confessing faith in Christ. The Advent message calls us to repent of all of our sins, including the sin of replacing the worship of Christ with some other place or person or thing, the sin of being led astray by the unbelieving world around us, or that sin of denying our Lord on account of our fear of what others may think. To confess Christ means not only that we are unashamed of his name, but also that we cling to him in our baptism. That we remember his blood cleanses us from all sin, and that he freely gives the Holy Spirit to renew and to sustain our faith. Of course, in Advent, we're preparing for the celebration of his first coming, which was accomplished in a very humble way. But at the same time, we confess that Jesus is coming again someday with great power and great glory to judge the living and the dead. And this is the same Jesus who first came to this earth as an infant, but is coming again with heavenly might, where everyone in this world will someday have to confess that Jesus is both God and Lord. Let us not be afraid to confess, along with Saint Nicholas, the Bishop of Myra, that true identity of Christ Jesus our Lord. For no matter what season it may be, we are saved by faith in his name. We are given new life in him through the blessings of baptism. For Jesus is the greatest gift giver of all, and he gives the Holy Spirit through holy baptism, especially to children. to keep and sustain us in the Christian faith. May the Spirit of Christ keep and preserve us in this faith until the day of his return. In the name of Jesus, amen.